Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 26th day of April. It is day 116 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, somebody who shows up with you every day to spend a little time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and direct our hearts to the one who is the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. And so we come. We come from all around the world to warm ourselves by the fires of God's love, for God is love. And today, we're in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Then we go on to Psalm 140, and we'll finish our reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. This is the word of the Lord. 2 Samuel 1. After the death of Saul, David returned from his victory over the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's army camp. He had torn his clothes and put dirt on his head to show that he was in mourning. He fell to the ground before David in deep respect. "Where have you come from?" David asked. "I escaped the Israelite camp," the man replied. "What happened?" David demanded. "Tell me how the battle went," the man replied. "Our entire army fled from the battle. Many of the men are dead, and Saul and his son Jonathan are also dead." "How do you know Saul and Jonathan are dead?" David demanded of the young man. The man answered, "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and there was Saul leaning on his spear, with the enemy chariots and charioteers closing in on him. When he turned and saw me, he cried out for me to come to him. 'How can I help?' I asked him. He responded, 'Who are you?' 'I am an Amalekite,' I told him. Then he begged me, 'Come over here and put me out of my misery, for I am in terrible pain and I want to die.' So I killed him," the Amalekite told David, "for I knew he couldn't live. Then I took his crown and his armband, and I have brought them here to you, my lord." David and his men tore their clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. They mourned and wept and fasted all day for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the Lord's army and the nation of Israel, because they had died by the sword that day. Then David said to the young man who had brought the news, "Where are you from?" And he replied, "I'm a foreigner, an Amalekite who lives in your land." "Why were you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed one?" David asked. Then David said to one of his men, "Kill him." So the man thrust his sword into the Amalekite and killed him. "You have condemned yourself," David said, "for you yourself confessed that you killed the Lord's anointed one." Then David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan, and he commanded that it be taught to the people of Judah. It is known as the Song of the Bow, and it is recorded in the book of Jashar. "Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen. Don't announce the news in Gath. Don't proclaim it in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, and the pagans will laugh in triumph. O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fruitful fields produce offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. The bow of Jonathan was powerful, and the sword of Saul did its mighty work. They shed the blood of their enemies and pierced the bodies of mighty heroes. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O women of Jerusalem, weep for Saul, for he dressed you in luxurious scarlet clothing, in garments decorated with gold. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead on the hills. How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you, and your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of a woman. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen. Stripped of their weapons, they lie dead."
Psalm 140. For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, rescue me from evil people. Protect me from those who are violent, those who plot evil in their hearts and stir up trouble all day long. Their tongues sting like a snake. The venom of a viper drips from their lips. O Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are violent, for they are plotting against me. The proud have set a trap to catch me. They've stretched out a net. They've placed traps all along the way. I said to the Lord, You are my God. Listen, O Lord, to my cries for mercy. O sovereign Lord, the strong one who rescues me. You protected me on the day of battle, Lord. Do not let evil people have their way. Do not let their evil scheme succeed, or they'll become proud. Let my enemies be destroyed by the very evil they have planned for me. Let burning coals fall down on their heads. Let them be thrown into the fire or into watery pits from which they can't escape. Don't let liars prosper here on our land. Cause great disasters to fall on the violent. But I know the Lord will help those they persecute. He will give justice to the poor. Surely righteous people are praising your name. The godly will live in your presence. Matthew 13. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one.
Listen! A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his fields, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they did not have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.
His disciples came and asked him, Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they'll have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Then I'll tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat into the barn. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make its nest in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophets. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they'll remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into a fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, he dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, sorted out the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" "Yes," they said, "we do." Then he added, "Every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old." When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, "Where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live here right among us. Where did he learn all these things?" And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. And now may our Lord give his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. Jesus is telling the stories about seeds and soil and the miracle and mystery of new life. Seeds are being thrown out on every imaginable kind of soil, not to waste the seed, but because the miracle of life can take place in any kind of soil. Life is a miracle. And yet there are so many things that come against life. The fact that there's any life at all is simply a miracle. When you consider all that we're up against, that's true in agriculture as well as in our own lives. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for things, and the thief that comes to plant weeds in the field, and on it goes, one thing after another. So much standing in the way of life. So much is coming against that seed. On its own, it doesn't stand a chance. And that's the point of the gospel, that God, seeing that we don't stand a chance at life apart from Him, apart from a miracle, has done that very thing. God has intervened. God has provided the miracle that we need. His intervention wasn't by appearing in some otherworldly apparition or vision, sitting high and lofty above all in His brilliant and impenetrable light. That's not how He came. That could have been the miracle, but it wasn't anything like that. God's miraculous intervention was far more humble than that. God became a human being. The Creator assumed the life of the creature. He put on flesh and bones and lived among us. He came and sat with us in this messy soil. He came to give us His life in the midst of this messy world, in the midst of your messy world. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I will see what God has done in Christ, that I'll see the miracle of the incarnation of God with us, that I'll see the miracle of the seed that died for all so that all might live, that I'll see the heart of God who saw our need of a miracle, and He came, humbled Himself, and gave Himself on behalf of all, that I'll worship Him today and that I'll have His joy. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, You have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with Your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, You have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent Your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after You and find You. Bring the nations into Your fold, pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of Your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that you were blessed today by our time in the scriptures and in prayer.
I hope that your heart was encouraged. I hope that your eyes were opened perhaps just a little bit more to the wonders of God's love and His presence in your life. Well, friends, before I let y'all go today, I just want to say thank you to our partners. I'm so appreciative that we have amazing people who've come alongside the podcast and have given so that we might in turn give encouragement, wisdom, hope, faith in a God that is good, really good, better than we've ever thought. That's what we want to do here each day, and that's what our partners are making possible. And so, man, I just want to say thank you. I want to send a shout out to people like Matthew Newell, Bernadette Rufin, Alexander Jackaway, Karen Sterling, Maritas Galindez, Ken Purvis, Maggie Beckford, Dan Russell, and Paulette Walter. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers in this work of the Lord. And if you're listening today and you'd like to join that team that makes the dream possible, and that is so amazing, all you need to do is head on over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link. Or right from your phone, as you're listening to this, you can check the show notes of the podcast, and there you'll find a link that does that very same thing. And if you're old school, you prefer the U.S. Post, you can reach us at Daily Radio Bible, 2748 Northeast Mullaney Way, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97124. Well, hey, we've done it again. And I plan on doing it again tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, your brother Hunter plans on being right here in my little office here in the outskirts of the town called Portland in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. That's where I'll be, and you'll be where you're at, and together we will do this thing. And this thing that we do will be a blessing to our souls. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, because this is the crux of it all, my friend. That you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.